Okay, we continue our meeting and are going to talk about leases. Petrina is going to give us an overview of the feedback from the comment letters. Petrina?
Thank you, Hans, and good morning. I think our objective today is really sort of twofold. First is to go through sort of a complete summary of the feedback we've received on the project. In September, I know that we touched on this, but of course we didn't cover it completely then because at that stage we hadn't gone through sort of analysing all of the comment letters, and also we weren't quite complete in terms of sort of outreach and roundtable meetings. So that's the first thing, and then obviously we'll move on and just talk about next steps for the project. So maybe first of all, if we look at the feedback, you obviously got our 76-page paper that was discussed by both boards back in November. What I will plan to do is sort of break the paper into a number of different sections. And what we'll do is just to provide a very sort of brief intro and summary into those sections, keep it quite high level to allow, you know, sort of sufficient time for discussion, and then stop and hand over to you for sort of questions and comments on the feedback. So what I think I'll do is split it into three pieces. The first will be lessee, where I'd also kind of capture any comments on classification, any comments on cost benefit, and anything to do with sort of behavioural changes for lessee. Then secondly, I'd tee up and split out lessor. And then thirdly, we just take everything else that would include scope and measurement. Okay. So first of all, I'm so sorry, the first thing I should say is that the start of the paper, of course, fleshes out in some detail the background to the feedback. You know, the fact that it's come from the 640 comment letters that we've now received, and also that it builds on any feedback we heard at outreach meetings from investors and analysts or from the preparer fieldwork meetings. The paper sets it out, and I know we discussed it with you in September, so I don't intend to say anything more on that, but you should certainly feel free to ask us about any pieces of that if you have questions. So maybe first of all, go into lessee. We sort of in the feedback summary, we sort of split it into to views on balance sheet versus income statement and cash flow statement. So I suppose first of all, regarding the balance sheet, many constituents support the proposals and agree that a lessee should be recognising assets and liabilities for all leases of more than 12 months. Those constituents included a majority of the investors and analysts that provided feedback. Particularly strong support from credit analysts, whose focus is, of course, more on the sort of liabilities of an entity and on leverage. There are more mixed views, of course, from equity analysts, but nonetheless, there was still a majority of those equity analysts who were supportive of the balance sheet proposals, and said that the proposals would provide them with a much better starting point in terms of performing their analysis. And of course, there was also support for the balance sheet proposals from regulators, from many of you, and other standard setters, from the accounting firms, and also from some preparers. But not everybody agrees, and many disagree. In fact, even within the investor and analyst community, there were some of those investors and analysts who don't support the changes. And in fact, many of those users who don't support the changes actually think that leases create assets and liabilities. They would just prefer bigger assets and liabilities than what the proposals might give them. There was lots of concern, particularly in the comment letters, about cost and complexity. Of course, particularly from preparers, but also from the accounting firms and from some of you and others. Some preparers are concerned about the kind of, you know, wider effects of such a significant change in accounting. So, you know, what might be the implications on regulatory requirements or in debt covenants. Many are concerned about the scope of the proposals and the potential cost that arises from having to apply the proposals, I suppose, particularly where you've got large volumes of what people might refer to as small ticket leases. And there are I suppose quite a few lessors who mentioned concerns about what they viewed as potential lessee behavioural changes. Concerned that, potentially lessees might decide to buy instead of lease, or might decide to try and enter into shorter lease terms, and that might have an effect on, of course, the value of the assets that, those lessors lease. And lastly, I suppose in balance sheet, many, including many of you, were critical of the accounting for the, type B right of use assets. If I move on to income statement. So in terms of investors and analysts, the views on the income statement largely fell into two camps. The industry-specific analysts support the dual model proposed, as do some of the other users who actually think it's really important for a lessee's income statement to really reflect what a lessee is paying for consumption or depreciation separately from what it's paying for interest or financing. However, many users, including most of the credit analysts, would prefer a sort of single type A model. They view leases as very much creating assets and debt-like liabilities, and on that basis they would say if this is being included on the balance sheet, I think it would be appropriate that there would be a corresponding interest amount in the income statement. And they also, by the way, was also a few others who support the changes to the balance sheet, but actually would say I'd prefer, you know, no change to the income statement today, and just everything that's an operating lease today, let's just have a single straight line expense. Other constituents' views in the income statement, I suppose, very mixed is the way to sum it up. Some suggest reverting back to a single type A model for both conceptual and cost reasons. Many think and agree that there should be a dual model, but would actually prefer retaining the existing distinction sort of between operating and finance leases, so retaining an IS 17 type line as the distinction. Others understand and support the dual model proposed, but they have lots of suggestions as to how to simplify that model. And I suppose in particular there were quite a few concerns about, well, how to interpret insignificant and major part and substantially all. Some preparers would like to have an option to apply a single model to all of their leases. And I suppose others, there's quite a few others who suggest various different ways where you might achieve a single straight line answer, but somehow differently and in a less costly way to how our proposals work for type B leases. So with that, that is very much a high level summary on lessee. That's all that I intended to say to tee up lessee, and I suppose I'd open it for any particular questions or comments on lessee accounting. Otherwise, I keep moving.
Keep moving.
Okay, I'll move on to lessor. Overall, I suppose in terms of lessor, less support for change to lessor accounting than lessee accounting. I'll start by saying at a high level, there's probably two very different views about the linkage that should be between lessee accounting and lessor accounting. You have some constituents who are clear that they think that if lessee accounting changes, then it's actually essential that lessor accounting would change as well, because they really see it as being quite important that there is sort of coherency or symmetry between lessee and lessor. And I suppose many of those would say if you're going to apply a right of use model on the lessee side, flow that right of use model through to the lessor side, which would mean having sort of more receivable residual approach. However, most of the feedback, most constituents would say that whilst consistency is sort of a nice to have, it's not necessarily essential and shouldn't necessarily be put sort of first as the first and foremost objective when you're thinking about whether and how to change lessor accounting. And there's pretty unanimous support for the proposals for property leases, which of course essentially means very, very little change for property leases. And I suppose linking to the board's reasons for actually proposing change for equipment leases, there's quite a lot of support from users to have better information about a lessor's credit risk versus asset risk. In saying that, though many of those users would actually say, I'm indifferent as to whether you give me that information on the balance sheet or in the notes. And you even have some saying, well, I'd actually prefer you to give me that information in the notes and don't change accounting. Some users, as well as some lessors, support the change to equipment leases. A lot of that largely links into sort of what the lessor's business model is. So if you're a bank lessor, those lessors would say, well, the accounting is a more close reflection in a sense of how I'm pricing the contract, so a closer reflection of underlying economics, and therefore makes sense. However, particularly those users who follow lessors of longer lived equipment, and the lessors themselves are quite opposed to change. So for example, if you've got a lessor of sort of rail cars, of aircraft, of ships, of telecommunication towers, both the analysts that follow those lessors as well as the lessors themselves are saying, I prefer the information I get today under existing lessor accounting, because they view that the changes don't appropriately reflect those lessors' business model. That the business model of those lessors is much more to kind of manage assets over a longer term basis, as opposed to sort of just thinking about managing it more based on sort of individual lease terms. And of course, those particular lessors are then consequently also concerned about the cost of the proposals. Because of course, any change from sort of existing operating accounting is going to be more costly, because operating accounting is pretty straightforward. There's also some equipment and vehicle lessors who would say, yes, the proposed changes better reflect what I'm doing. However, just from a cost-benefit perspective, I'm actually happy to keep my existing accounting. And of course, there was also quite a lot of just concern about the complexity and the type A lessor model and how that would work. And there were various sort of suggestions as to how that could be simplified. So that's lessor. Any particular questions or comments? Otherwise, I'll keep moving. Yeah? So finally, everything else. If I first of all touch on scope, definition of a lease, I'd say there's sort of broad support for the changes in that area, but lots of requests for additional clarity and guidance, and in particular, perhaps better examples that could better demonstrate how that sort of changed guidance or definition would work. The other area of scope is thinking about separating lease and non-lease components. So I suppose there the one piece of that where you get some concerns is around a lessee, the fact that a lessee has to obtain, or at least the proposal was, that they'd have to obtain observable standalone prices to be able to separate lease and non-lease. So there are many people suggesting that, like existing requirements, they thought that lessees should be allowed to come up with reliable estimates in order to do so. And by the way, some of our fieldwork preparers actually said they would prefer not to be required to always separate the pieces, that particularly where the service pieces were pretty small, they'd be happy not to separate and treat it all as a lease. And there were some others, including some of you actually, that would say that it might make sense to look at the significance of the sort of leasing component versus service components and use that as a way to determine how to account for the entire contract. Measurement. Broad support for, I suppose, the changes from the previous exposure draft. But measurement continues to be, I think, an area where there are cost concerns. And therefore an area where people would suggest there's the possibility of simplifying the proposals. The main area of concern is around reassessment. So reassessing lease term as well as reassessing variable lease payments based on an index or rate. And otherwise there are just some requests for clarifications on, you know, what is in substance fixed. What exactly do you mean by significant economic incentive? Is it different from reasonably certain? And if not, why not just use reasonably certain? And some clarifications requested just around the definition of a lessee's incremental borrowing rate. And I suppose finally, in terms of the everything else, I would just mainly mention that there were also clearly some cost concerns linked to the disclosure requirements and also just how transition would work. So that's the feedback.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions? Or not used to Russ.
I thought you did a great job of summarizing.
Even though you had to listen to it now for a second time. move on to next steps?
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. More importantly, next steps based on that feedback. So I suppose based on the feedback, what our plans are at the moment is that the boards will first of all, I suppose, tackle what we consider to be the central issues in a sense. Let's get the core, the central cogs in place, and then we'll talk about the all of the other pieces that interlink with it. And so those central issues are to first of all talk about the lessee model. What's the lessee model? The lessor model. How does that work? And linked to that, what we think is important to possibly think about at that time is if there are any possible scope simplifications that might be made, because that might influence particularly where you think you might end up on the lessee model. Our plan is to have a first discussion on those topics in January. I suppose the process, just to give you an eye, the process we're going through at the moment, what is probably most difficult around, of course, these central issues is, as you see from the feedback, is simply the range of views and the breadth of differing views. So what we're trying to do at the moment is really trying to drill down into that feedback and, really trying to focus on, I suppose, costs and benefits, which is pretty important. So drill down into the information we've heard from investors and analysts on benefits to really sort of understand it. And also drill down into all of the various cost and complexity concerns to see if we can really understand, what potentially is driving the different pieces of cost or complexity, and therefore hopefully be in a better position then to actually work out the best route forward. So that's the first bundle, and that would start in January. And then I suppose thereafter, the other sort of main areas I'd say we'd anticipate for re-deliberations is again, just based on the feedback, obviously looking at the definition of a lease again, and particularly just picking up on where people have particular questions or concerns, where they're asking for clarifications, and just extra sort of clarity about exactly how the guidance would work. Then also measurement. Probably particularly looking at reassessment, but also those areas where clarifications are asked for in substance fixed and significant economic incentive. Also discount rate. And then also, I think, of course, once the core models are in place and we know how measurement works, etc., looking at disclosure requirements. What do we think is needed in addition to the information that people would get from the main statements, and also ultimately then looking at transition, which I think is another important piece of the proposals.
Roger.
I thought it was a very good summary, and I thought the paper was very good, so we understand the feedback, and obviously we will give them some of that, but there are other areas which we haven't. What the kind of thing would you like us to do, I suppose, over the next few months? And in particular, for some of these novel ideas, like, for example, going for operating lease treatment in the income statement for all leases, for example, is there any more field testing that you're going to do or you would like us to do?
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, please.
I suppose at least I think from our perspective, we obviously at this stage, by the way, the information that you've got and we're discussing with you is as much as the board has got as well. So we were quite advanced. At least from my perspective, I think it would be incredibly useful for us to obviously have a much more detailed debate with you, at least at the next meeting, about those way forward. And for example, in helping when we've now done this drilling down a bit more to really understand the analysis, also get you to engage with us and give us your thoughts and views and experience around that. What I suppose I can't say at the moment is, as I say, we're if you choose to come into my office, you see we've got these large spreadsheets, A3 by the way, we wish they were wider, sort of picking up all of these sort of comments that we get in comment letters, and as I say, trying to categorise and analyse. It may be that you know, when we get through that point of categorising and analysing, that there will be particular comments that have been made by, I don't know, preparers in your jurisdiction. I mean, I can see that it might be useful to have either, you know, follow-up calls with some of the preparers or maybe to have you involved, that where we can clarify perhaps, you know, some of the comments made in understanding the feedback.
Yeah, I'm very much involved in this, so let me add my view on that. I think we have a major thing ahead of us, and that is to understand more and more and more in detail where is cost and complexity coming from. Mm-hmm. And we have, as Bettina said, we have a number of response letters where we're trying to dig deeper into it. And I think it would be very helpful if you could take a few cases and try to understand, because you get a little bit lost when you look into the same topic all the time. So we could get a little bit of a dialogue with some of you around a couple of cases. And I've been a preparer for more than 30 years. And with that background, I'm saying that there are some people out there who are giving us very valuable and good information, that some people are giving us just phony numbers. Mm-hmm. And when trying to understand this, it's important for us then to say, what simplifications can we do and how do they impact the cost and complexity? I think on the benefit side, we have a case. On the cost and complexity, we are partially losing the ED. So we must do the simplifications. And how do they affect real life companies? And there, I think we could come back to some of you, if you are prepared, to look into two or three or four of the comment letters and scrutinize really the arguments and say, here we have more basics for to say how we divide the different cost and complexity things, which forms the alternatives for decision.
Okay, that's a good pushback. Cool.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to repeat the same remark in June, but we think symmetric treatment between lesser accounting and lessee accounting is not needed. Lessor's point is when to recognize revenue of the underlying asset. On the other hand, the lessee accounting is the right of use asset. So there is no line in that sense, one single treatment. So line of the cost allocation is just for practical standpoint. So such a practical standpoint line shouldn't affect the theoretical line of lessor's revenue recognition point. So in that sense, one suggestion to have the expedite solution is to concentrate on the lessee accounting. So everybody wants to see the lessee's accounting. But also, I already said in June, it is quite difficult. Theoretically, all the leases, non-cancellable leases, should be on balance. But from the standpoint of cost and benefit, certain leases may have to be off balance. But I don't have the solution that how large that is. But I think that is the only speeding way to go to the exit.
In terms of how to go forward, and Russ, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but we'll have a first intensive discussion with the two boards in January, January meeting. Then there will already be staff papers that will outline the main questions in front of us, and I think from in that meeting the first leanings of the board will become clear. And then we will have a final meeting, probably we aim for the decision making in March, in a joint meeting in March. We will go to Norwalk, come to joint conclusions, and before that we still have an ASAF meeting also beginning of March, so you will be able to give your views then. Were we planning anything else, like in terms of with ASAP?
Well, I think doing
a conference call, or
I think conference calls and doing things remotely with such a big group is difficult.
Yeah,
but what I think could be helpful is following up on what Jan said, where we feel that we need some more information to understand particular costs and complexity. I think reaching out to you and getting your input through that process would be helpful potentially in the interim before we have the meeting in March.
I also had last night with a few of you the offer that we would be very happy to set up a video conference with each individual group you represent, so you can understand better the background, and perhaps then after the January board meeting, for those who are interested, we could have a video conference with each one of you to go through a little bit the questions that were in the documents, so you are sort of up and running on that.
I suppose then, having settled that, I think we can probably leave it at that at this meeting, unless there are further comments to be made. Roger?
I was only going to suggest that, I mean, I think we can be helpful here in perhaps going back to some of our constituents, understanding that this issue about cost complexity is against benefit. In that case, probably it would be worth spending a reasonable amount of time at the March ASAP on this, so we can all actually push back our more detailed thoughts, because we have enough time in the next 2 months to actually do some work in that area.
And by the way, hopefully if the time it works and will be helpful, because in the January papers and from the discussion, we obviously would hope to have some possible ways forward in there, and then with that, you know, in the public domain and with you, I think it might be, you know, useful at that point that you could speak to some of your people to actually test
out whether this is going to help.
Yeah.
Because we'll have started to lay out obviously an analysis about how those alternatives, you know, address the cost issue and what they do relatively, and also, you know, think about the benefit side too. And so, you know, that would give you a basis there.
Perhaps we could organise a seminar, for example, and, you know, nationally, you know, with constituents in February, and then we can perhaps test some of those concepts out.
Okay, any other comments on leases? If not, I think we can finish up before lunch. Ellen, where's Ellen?